So today we celebrate the feast day of our patron saint, St. Pius X. And it's good for us to know a little bit about the patron saint of our parish. The church lifts up the saints for us and has for many centuries since the beginning of the church. If we think of the very early church, especially during the persecutions, the tombs of the saints were places of pilgrimage because the early Christians, even from the earliest decades of the church, really believed that there was power in the prayers that the saints would offer for the people. And so that's why in Rome and in these other places where the Christian persecutions were taking place, even though it would have been illegal for people to visit the burial places of the martyrs, the people who had died for the faith, you couldn't keep the Christians away. In the middle of the night and in secret, they would come. And so eventually when Christianity was legalized then, this is in the early 300s under the Emperor Constantine, he began building these large churches and courtyards to receive all of the pilgrims who would be visiting them. And then that place would be named after the saint that was buried there. So as far as I know, St. Pius X is not buried here, but he's the patron of our saints. First, our school, which was originally Saints Peter and Paul School, came to be renamed St. Pius X. That happened under Bishop Schladweiler. And I would still like to see in the diocesan archives if it gives the reason why Bishop Schladweiler decided to rename our school Pius XII. It was happening because there's more consolidation happening between the two parishes here in Glencoe, Saints Peter and Paul, which was this church, and St. George down the street, really wanting to unify the two parishes more by giving them a common school. Bishop wanted St. George parishioners to come to the school here because they didn't have a school, so he decided to give the name then a different name to the school so that St. George and St. Peter and Paul parishioners would both feel like they were welcome there. So I suspect part of the reason is because Pope Pius X is especially known for his love for the Eucharist. He's sometimes called the Pope of the Eucharist, but he's known because he lowered the age of receiving Holy Communion to the age of 7, or the age of reason. And so in some ways he's seen to be a patron saint for children as well. And so I wonder if that's part of the reason why Bishop Schladweiler decided to name the school here after Pius X. But then eventually when the two parishes merged and the building of St. George was closed, then they united both parishes into this single parish, giving it the name of the school then. So that happened in about 1990 under Bishop Lucker. And so here we are with Pope St. Pius X as our patron saint. Pope St. Pius X was born in 1835 in northern Italy, and his name was Giuseppe Sarto, or Joseph Sarto. This is why we call the cafeteria the Sarto Room. You've maybe wondered why that's called that. It's because it's Pope Pius X's last name. He was born to a poor family, but his parents were very hardworking. His father was a mailman. His mother was a dressmaker. He was the oldest of 10 children. And at age 11, he told his parents that he believed that he was called to be a priest. And so with their parish priest help, the family was able to send little Giuseppe to Catholic school and eventually to the seminary. And so he was ordained a priest at the age of 23, and he began serving in a small town, much like the small town where he grew up in. And he was much beloved there. The people felt that he was so relatable. Sometimes priests, because of their own weaknesses, or perhaps because of the, the culture of a particular place can be put up on a pedestal. And that's not a good thing when the priest is up on a pedestal or seen to be untouchable or unrelatable by the people. But this was not the case for Father Giuseppe, who people found to be so relatable, partly because he grew up in a situation much like theirs. He was poor. His parents were poor. He knew what it was like to be poor. So he would carefully craft his sermons to be able to relate to people. He was devoted especially to the young people of his parish. And he also was so focused on celebrating the Mass beautifully and reverently. He was convicted that children and adults needed intellectual formation in the faith. This is one of the deficiencies he felt with the church at the time, that even though there might be many people at Mass on a given Sunday or even during the week, many people didn't know their faith. They didn't know what the church taught. And so he really sought to change that. He started to host after-school classes for children to be able to learn the faith. And then that became very popular, and the adults said, well, we want to learn about the faith too. So he started doing the same kind of classes in the evenings. So after 9 years as an assistant priest, he became pastor. He did this for another 9 years, and there he was known for really devoting himself to the poor of his community, especially to the poor farmers and ranchers. It was wondered if he ever slept, because he was a man of exceptional energy, so much so that he was nicknamed Perpetuum Mobile, which in Italian means always on the go, or always on the move. So eventually, the bishop would recognize his gifts, and he was given then responsibilities with the diocese and at the diocesan seminary. And after doing that for a while, then he caught the Pope's attention, and he was named bishop of a small town up in northern Italy, Mantua. But he didn't want to be named a bishop. He loved being a priest. He especially loved serving as a spiritual director at the seminary for the men who were studying to be priest. So he at first he resisted being named a bishop, but the Pope insisted, and so he was obedient to the Holy Father and became the bishop of this small diocese, which was known for being a not very good assignment for someone who is its bishop. Just because of the poor formation, the priests were known to be very lax and not taking their pastoral duties seriously. The liturgies were celebrated very poorly, and overall it was just known to be a place that lacked faith. So Bishop Sarto, Bishop Giuseppe, went in trusting that God was going to help him, and he just simply did the same things that he did as a parish priest. So he began, instead of now forming the people directly, he began to form the priest and really teach them the truths of the faith and encourage them to teach their people the truths of the faith. He began insisting that the liturgy be celebrated according to the norms of the church, and encouraged a beautiful celebrated liturgy, really encouraging beauty in the liturgy, as well as beautiful music, especially chant, to elevate the liturgy. And within only a handful of years of his being there as a bishop, a very perceptible change took place in that diocese, where people really embraced the faith and became active in their parishes. So eventually Bishop Sarto would be named cardinal and the Archbishop of Venice. Right after he was named this by the Holy Father, there was a local newspaper reporter asked him how he felt about his new assignment as Archbishop of Venice. And he said, "I feel anxious, terrified, and humiliated." He's a very humble person. He never sought advancement in the church's hierarchy. And it was only a few years after that, in 1903, that he was elected Pope. This is after Pope Benedict XV died. And he served as Holy Father from 1903 to 1914. Like I said earlier, Pope Pius X was known for his love for the Eucharist. His papal motto, and I was kind of looking, there's a little plaque when this church was renovated 20 years ago or so. There's a little plaque right outside the door by the elevator commemorating the different donors who donated to that. And you can see there on that plaque the words, his Pope Pius X's papal motto, which is to restore all things in Christ. And Pius X really, really saw the secret of our personal renewal in Christ in the Eucharist. And he believed that if we would receive the Eucharist with devotion, if we would receive the Eucharist frequently, that would bear great fruit in our life. And so he encouraged that. He's actually known not only for lowering the age of reception of Holy Communion to 7, or to the age of reason, but he's also known for encouraging frequent reception of Holy Communion, which was a little bit novel in that day. You had a lot of people who would come to Mass, and even if they were in the state of grace, would not receive Holy Communion. People had this deep sense of unworthiness and felt that they couldn't or shouldn't receive Holy Communion frequently. But Pope Pius X wanted people to approach the Lord with confidence in his mercy. He wanted us to know that we are unworthy to receive the Lord, but it's the Lord's deep love for us that invites us nonetheless to receive him in the sacrament. And when we receive him, then we become more and more like him and can make a bigger difference in the world. So I found this little homily that Pius X gave to a first communion class, which is appropriate because of his lowering the age of first Holy Communion. So I just wanted to close by reading a few words from this homily that I think we all can receive as we are all God's children. He said, "My dear children, you have received our Lord for the first time, but it is not enough. Every day we have to ask God for the bread to sustain the life of our body. This we do in the prayer, the Our Father. But we don't just have need of bread to sustain our body, we also need heavenly bread that gives life to our soul. My advice to you, children, is that you receive Holy Communion frequently, even if you cannot do so daily, and unite yourself in this way to the Savior. Make frequent visits to him in the solitude and silence of his tabernacle. Then you will hear him speak to you, his invitation full of love, 'Come to me, all who hunger, and I will refresh you. All you who have been burdened and weighed down, and I will give you comfort, peace, and consolation. My last desire, dear children, is that the love of our Lord dwell in you so that it will change you into so many apostles, zealous for his glory. You will be the treasure of your families. You will make them happy by your good conduct. Your example alone will win them to receive Holy Communion frequently. At school, you will bring your companions to imitate your piety. In the parish, all will look on you as good angels." So what a beautiful goal in our own life, that through the gift that the Lord gives us of himself in Holy Communion, we all would be made so much like him that to others, each one of us would seem like a good angel. whom God had sent their way to bring them Christ, to speak a word of peace, hope, consolation, as Christ speaks that to us. So let's pray today for the intercession of our good patron, St. Pius X, that he would pray for our whole parish and all of our parishioners, for all of our parishioners who are struggling at this time, for all of our parishioners who have fallen away from the active participation at Mass, that each one of us, through our own reception of Holy Communion, would become like a missionary, blessing those in our parish and in our world.